Now, once, if you needed information, you had to get your hands on a set of encyclopedias or head to the library. Nowadays, much of this information can be found online for anyone to discover, share, and even contribute to, such as the ever-expanding online encyclopedia, Wikipedia. And now perhaps design itself is going through its own revolution, where the sharing of designs is no longer the domain of only those who can afford an architect. So imagine assembling your new home using open source plans that you downloaded from the internet yourself. Your house is in the public domain and you don't need to be an architect or a builder to make it happen. In fact, you might not even need to know how to use a screwdriver. Alastair Parvin is one of the members of a London architectural firm, 00%, and he's also behind WikiHouse. Alastair Parvin, welcome to By Design.
Hello.
Now, we all know what Wikipedia is, but what exactly is a WikiHouse?
So WikiHouse is, I mean, really it's essentially the same idea, but where Wikipedia is about putting knowledge into the public domain so that everybody can access it for free and everybody can also edit it as a big global community. We're trying to do exactly the same thing with houses, with the design of physical things. It's not just about sharing designs such as plans or things like that, which anybody can take but are of limited use, but actually WikiHouse also sets up a manufacturing system, which is also becoming really, really widely shareable. And that is CNC machines.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But the origins of this idea actually traces its way back to the sharing of open source software. Is that true? Why was that an inspiration for you?
Absolutely. I mean, what's happening with open source software is sort of, it's only kind of really slowly dawning on people what actually the movement behind open source is, which is really all about, exactly as you said, democratizing the capability and the knowledge to do stuff. And of course, open source software was driven by the web, by the ability to share stuff really quickly, really instantly between people on the other side of the world. What's actually happening now is that open source, the same open source ideas are spreading into hardware. And that's being driven not just by the web, but by the proliferation of actually really high-precision manufacturing technologies like 3D printing and CNC cutting. So you might have heard of some 3D printers such as RepRap or MakerBot, which you can now buy a 3D printer or buy a kit for a 3D printer for really a tiny amount of money, a few hundred dollars, and have a 3D printer on your desktop, which enables you to go online, download objects, and essentially manufacture them in your home.
And so this is exactly what you're talking about here, about the democratization of production itself. It actually allows, through these sorts of new manufacturing technologies that are more accessible and affordable, for things like the WikiHouse to actually occur. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible.
Absolutely. And that's what's driving it, is that the threshold for those things are coming lower and lower and lower.
It's really fascinating. I mean, this is very different, though, from, say, the first DIY homes from Sears, Roebuck and Co., those self-assembly homes where you basically received 30,000 parts and a very thick instruction manual, you know, by mail order and created the home yourself. So this is a very different idea, isn't it?
Yeah, very different. And I mean, there are a lot of similarities, I should say, but the main difference, of course, is that what you got with those things was a one-size-fits-all, off-the-peg solution. And what we're actually trying to develop with WikiHouse is what we call open source construction set. So it's more like Meccano or Lego, but for full size in a way, in the sense that we're using 3D models which are made in Google SketchUp, which anybody can download for free and learn to use quite easily. And these guys, the Espions, who 00 work with, wrote this really nifty piece of computer code, which is a plugin for SketchUp, so that you can share these models all around the world with each other, and then download a model and click, essentially, make this house. And from the model, it will generate you all the cutting patterns that you need to just feed that information into a CNC machine, which is essentially like clicking print on a house.
So that's how it works. So what we actually simply need is a printer, that you're saying, but we also need to be able to have access to plywood and probably land, maybe foundations, and perhaps some friends. So what do we actually need to make this work?
Absolutely. And I mean, I would state, actually, that where we are in the project is a kind of continuous rolling experiment. So at the moment, we're focusing on the specifically the problem of structure. And as you say, we've chosen to use CNC machines because they're more and more widely available, and plywood because, you know, pretty much anyone around the world has got access to an 18-millimeter sheet material of some kind, whether it's plywood or OSB or something like that.
So this is the standard plywood sheet that we all have access
exactly,
to.
Exactly. You can go down to your local hardware store and you can buy this stuff. So we're trying to use the most generically available materials we can think of right now. But actually, you're absolutely right. There's no reason why in the future we shouldn't all join together as a community of designers and put loads of other solutions, not just the structure, but also to how to insulate houses, how to pad them, how to put the services and the plumbing through the houses and do things like ventilation, heat exchangers. All this knowledge, we think, should be in the public domain so that anybody can access it, edit it, and use it for free.
What sort of design decisions did you make, Alastair, from the outset to even think about these structures, about these homes, to make them more user-friendly, and why?
Well, I mean, that's a really, really interesting question. I could talk about that for hours and hours and hours, but I'll say two things. One thing is, what's the thing that people can use the most easily, get access to for the least amount of money? And that drives everything from the biggest idea to down to the smallest detail. But the other thing is, which is really, really interesting, is in the detail of these structures themselves, strangely enough, there's a huge sociability in the way these things go together. You have to think of really small things when you're designing these structures, such as, is it possible to get the piece the wrong way around? If it is, you either have to make it impossible to get the piece the wrong way around or symmetrical, so it doesn't matter if people do get it the wrong way around. So actually what's interesting is that when you change the production process of architecture, you fundamentally change actually everything down to the tiniest details of the way this thing's put together. And what we often say when we're putting these things together, which is amazing, is that it's strangely reminiscent of traditional vernacular architecture in the way that communities would come together and do these barn-raised structures, because you build these frames on the ground and then together with a group of three or four friends, you just lift those frames onto the building and then connect and add the neck. And it's always this incredibly, that was one of the big surprises of the project, that it's always this incredibly sociable process. And almost every construction turns into a kind of party, actually.
I like the idea of that. On By Design, I'm speaking with Alastair Parvin, who is a designer and architect, and he's one of the creators of the Wiki House. And a question for you, is this something that you would do? Would you assemble your new home using open source plans that you downloaded from the internet yourself? Or perhaps you're a designer or an architect, how willing would you be to share your ideas in an open source community? And what do you see as the potential of these ideas? All the links are on our website. Alastair, can we talk about a couple of your designs, ones that you've created, of course, yourself, and there's one that you've created for the Milan Design Fair, and it's the Milan pop-up, a micro test house. Tell me about this design.
So this is actually it's very pertinent because this is the latest one, the one we're doing now. We've done a few prototypes along the way, and we've built them. We've built one in Korea, and we've built a couple in London. But this one is really, really interesting for us because the first prototypes that we've used have all involved using bolts. So as well as using plywood, we would cut out these parts and you assemble the parts together, almost like a kind of three-dimensional jigsaw. And then we bolt them together. But we knew all along that actually that was a kind of expensive solution. And bolts are not necessarily that cheap or easy to get hold of. And for centuries, and people have been making timber frame houses that don't use bolts. They just use timber wedges and timber connections. And actually, in designing this, we looked into some of those old, you know, those old books studying vernacular architecture. And so this, the one that we're putting up in Milan is really just a very quick prototype. It's going to be the first prototype that we've tried, which doesn't use any bolts. So it will be held together, connected together using only wedges and connections.
I suppose a different note. I mean, we've been talking about the idea of these open communities of designers through the open sourcing of these designs and WikiHouse. Mm. But as professional designers and architects working in this world, why housing? Why were you interested in tackling housing in the first place?
Housing is the bot- bottom line, isn't it? It's the basic need that everybody has. And I think it would be odd, really, for us to talk about lowering the threshold for people's access to architecture without starting at housing. And we're certainly not constrained to housing in the sense that there's no reason why you couldn't use the similar structural, a constructural system like this to build all kinds of things. And actually, we've had inquiries from people all around the world, particularly charities who are interested in building things like clinics and things like that using it. But we focused on housing because actually, I think if you were to look out there and say, where is that big need for amateurs mostly who want to, who might want to build their own buildings, the chances are it's going to start with the most basic human need, which is a house.
Do you see this as a potential solution for emergency housing concerns?
What's interesting for us is actually about this question is that maybe it's not specifically about that immediate disaster relief situation, because actually in that kind of traumatic, chaotic moment, the last thing you want to be doing is being given a bunch of plywood parts or being given a machine and saying, hey, cut yourself a house. But where it is really pertinent is that weird time after that, when you've got the emergency shelters, but nothing's happening, development's not coming. And so there's a kind of shortage of financial capital, and the investment isn't arriving. But actually, there are people there who don't necessarily have skills, but they do have time. And that's actually where we've seen the most interest. So there has been interest in particular from earthquake locations, in particular Haiti and Christchurch in New Zealand, where exactly that situation is unfolding. So they had the disaster relief housing, but now what's needed is a kind of slower, more long-term development model that isn't actually necessarily waiting about a big company to rock in with concrete and cranes, but actually saying, you know what, we can put a CNC machine into the centre of this community and they can build their own place.
It's a really wonderful project. Great to hear more about it. Alistair Parvin, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Alistair Parvin is an architectural and strategic designer, and he's also one of the creators of the Wiki House. Plus, he's also co-editor of a great magazine called Makeshift, which is all about architecture, economics, technology, and society. You can find the links to all of that and everything else on our website. And that is By Design for today. It's produced by Jan Ryan. Our sound engineer is Anne-Marie de Bettencourt, and I'm Fenella Kernebone.